All right, today we will go through John chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. I'll read the passage. I'll try to be brief with my notes today. But follow me as I read from John 6, verses 1 to 21. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. This is the only miracle that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. I believe I'm correct in saying that. This miracle took place in Galilee. The synoptic Gospels, the other 3 Gospels, deal a lot more with Jesus' ministry in Galilee than the Gospel of John does. But if we stitch together an account taken from all 4 Gospels, there are a few things that we can conclude. That at this time in Jesus' ministry, it was about this time in Jesus' ministry that he began experiencing more significant rejection, especially from those of his home region. And then also, it was at this time that Jesus sent out 12 disciples by twos on their first ministry mission. And in fact, this event happened just after their return. It seems that about right at this time also that Herod had John the Baptist beheaded at his daughter's request as getting revenge for her mother, who took offense at John the Baptist calling them out on her adultery. And then the 12 had just returned from their ministry assignment when Jesus said, "Okay, let's go away. Let's get away to a place by ourselves and have a little alone time." Well, as they were well enough known that the people kind of assumed knew where they were going to go. And as they went by boat, the people ran by land and arrived there at about the same time that Jesus and the disciples arrived. In the other Gospels, the disciples appear to be urging Jesus to send the crowds away as it was getting late and they were in a remote place. However, John's story clearly indicates that Jesus had a plan. And that is, we can pick up on that by Jesus asking Philip, where could we buy food for all these people? Well, Jesus already had a plan, so the question was more a thing of engaging the disciples, Philip and the disciples. And so Jesus had a training plan in mind for the disciples. By utilizing what they had, Jesus turned a little into much, and with plenty left over. It was not resource, and I want to note that it wasn't even resources held by any of the disciples, but it was an act of stewardship on local resources available. And children, for this story and for that song, remember it started out saying, "Barefoot little boy," and I'm not sure what age that would indicate, but it was a younger person that had this 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so even what you have, God can use and multiply. In the account, the 12 disciples were asked to gather the leftover fragments, quote, so that nothing would be lost. And then in the account also, in the dark of night, with the disciples battling a storm, they became terrified when they saw a form walking on the water until Jesus identified himself and entered the boat with them. They promptly arrived at their destination. Now, what are some practical application takeaway that we can take from this passage? The big picture is that Jesus is presenting himself and his kingdom to those people with whom he interacted. And in doing that, he had chosen 12 disciples. When he had, by this time, he had sufficiently established himself as a viable, legitimate rabbi, teacher, person to his disciples, and he had attracted attention among the masses. And so when he began to experience some personal rejection, he began to look to his disciples for more responsibility. And that would be indicated by him engaging Philip and asking, where are we going to get food for all these people? Because they were in a remote place and it was late. Some practical things we can learn from the feeding of the 5,000. Although we sometimes take breaks, as long as we are alive, our task is not finished. The masses were there, and they had needs, and continue to have needs. The task is greater than we are able to do by ourselves. God will multiply the, quote, little resources and abilities available / given to us when we are faithful to employ them as good stewards. It is never intended that we are the, quote, savior of the day, as it were. Rather, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, and he performs the miracles. We do the ordinary, the obvious things that need done. It is interesting to note that Jesus had the multitude sit in groups of 50 and 100, as is recorded in the Synoptic Gospels. It renders a sense of order in a potentially chaotic scene. It also gives a sense of anticipation. Jesus had more than enough spiritual bread for everyone, no matter how large the crowd. What about the 12 baskets that were left over? Well, I used to think only in terms of that there was one basket for each of the disciples left over, because I had studied the account more from the Matthew, Mark, Luke Gospels, and I saw how that the disciples, they wanted the people to go away because they didn't want the responsibility. The whole intent of this trip had been for them to get away by themselves. And here, they couldn't get away from the crowds. And Jesus seeing them, he taught them, he ministered to them, and then he wanted to feed them yet. The disciples were, why do we have to do all this? And I took it as Jesus wanting to show the disciples that you serve, you give, there's a whole basket left over for you too. But it could also imply that there is spiritual food for each of the tribes or the entirety of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. You could take it either way. I think the takeaway is that there is ample supply for the entirety of God's kingdom. Some practical takeaways from Jesus coming to the disciples on the water. The disciples were doing what Jesus had asked them to do. He had, so at the end of this miracle, Jesus, the crowds, this miracle convinced the masses that he was the promised one. He's our Savior. He can do anything. And he perceived that they were literally wanting to take him by force and make him king. He sent the disciples into the boat, and he slipped away by himself up into the mountain to pray, just, I think, to get away from them. And so the disciples were doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Nevertheless, they were struggling. They were having a difficult time. Where do we get the idea, anyway, that if we do everything right, and if we obey, if we are obedient, that things should go be smooth sailing? Where do we get that idea? That's not anything that I've found in Scripture, that things will always, we will experience God's blessing, but things will not always be easy. On top of their difficulty, they became terrified because of what they did not recognize. Something out of the ordinary. Isn't it interesting that the cause of their fright was for them a very ordinary subject in a very unordinary manner? Isn't that way for us oftentimes? As soon as Jesus joined them in the boat, they were at their destination. However, let us recognize that this was entirely dependent upon Jesus' timing. Jesus came in his divine time. And, you know, when we're engaged in an endeavor, a project, a task, and with Jesus' blessing at his time, it can be a success instantly. But sometimes it seems that we have to struggle a long, long time until all of a sudden it just, everything falls into place and it's done. But our responsibility is to be faithful and obedient as the disciples were here in rowing across the lake. Jesus came when it was the right time for him to come. And so it will be for us. Some final thoughts. We can see in the world today, just as in this story, the herding mentality instinct of the masses. Think about all these masses of people flocking, because here was someone that can help me, that they saw hope in. The herding mentality we have in the world today is in the story, the herding mentality instinct of the masses. This is neither a new phenomena or an old one. It is a fact of man's existence. We're called sheep for a reason. Jesus did not curse it. Rather, he sought to raise up a core of disciples to lead the masses in God's way. How can we today, with today's challenges, be leaders operating not by herd instinct, but by the call of God to rise to the occasion, by knowing God's will and truth, and by being courageous to live it out. Not trying to live as a standout, but being willing to stand out when God calls us to do so. What what abilities and resources do we have, and how can we, as good stewards, employ them to meet the needs around us today? The most effective among us will likely be the ones who put forward the little that we have, trusting God for a miracle, rather than those with an all-encompassing plan and the ability to see it through without needing God to multiply it. So let's take the little that we have, trust God for his part, the miracle, to be effective. Finally, the last point is this: to live in this way as effective agents or disciples in the kingdom of heaven, it is crucial that we have a personal and relevant, vital relationship with Jesus the King and receive daily memos from him, lest we miss the cue to action or we take action on our own and make regrettable, short-sighted blunders. So, as we think about living in our world today, should we or shouldn't we? Should we do this or should we do that? All kinds of decisions. It's vital that we have that relationship with Jesus. And then to be courageous, to live as he calls us to live, to decide as he calls us to decide, so that we won't be passive, but also so that we don't make regrettable, short-sighted blunders. That's all I have. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just being with us, for instructing us, for guiding us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go from here, that we can be, grow as in our discipleship of you and become people that will be willing to put our little out there on the line and expect you to multiply it for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Laverne asked me to close, so I will just allow momentarily for anyone who wants to share something.